Hi, welcome to Jazz Rhythm, an exploration of the lore, culture, and personalities of early jazz. I'm Dave Radlauer, focusing this hour on the music of Preservation Hall Jazz Band of New Orleans. Preservation Hall itself is an ancient building at 726 St. Peter Street in New Orleans, dating back to 1750 when the city was a French colony. Serving as an art gallery in the late 1950s, its owners hosted informal events with local musicians, but by 1961, it became a regular local institution. Soon, enthusiasts began arranging concerts and tours for the musicians of Preservation Hall. And as they appeared to a gradually widening audience, love grew for these crusty old-timers playing funky New Orleans jazz. And like the music itself, what began in New Orleans became a worldwide phenomenon.
Let's fly down or drive down to New Orleans. That city is pretty historic scene. I will take you, parade you down Bourbon Street. There's lots of hot spots, you see lots of big shots down on Bourbon Street.
Bourbon Street Parade, a little quintet of clarinetist Willie Humphrey in 1974. Fortunately, Preservation Hall and all its performers survived Hurricane Katrina. Donations in support of New Orleans musicians impacted by that storm can be made through their website, where you can also learn more history, hear music, buy CDs, or take a virtual tour of 726 St. Peter Street. The Preservation Hall website is preservationhall.com. I'm Dave Radlauer. This is Jazz Rhythm, jumping swing, classic blues, and hot jazz, old and new. My guest is Bill Carter, author of Preservation Hall, Music from the Heart, and a first-rate New Orleans-style clarinet player who knew well two of the band's leading lights, clarinetist Willie Humphrey and trumpeter Percy Humphrey. For more than 35 years, their sincerity, leadership, and musical inspiration helped build a worldwide following for Preservation Hall and their authentic New Orleans traditional jazz.
I knew Percy for, I would say, about 20 to 25 years. I haven't figured it out. More like 25, that's right.
How did you first encounter him?
I met him at Stanford when he was playing there with the Preservation Hall Jazz Band. They came there for 25 years, starting about 65. I think I met him about 1970. I saw him later many times as I was working on my book, Preservation Hall. And I lived in New Orleans for 6 months working on that book. And then I traveled on the road with the band, not as a clarinet player, which I also am, but as a writer-photographer, and sat in the buses with him all across the United States.
So you got to see him as relaxed, not just the stage personality.
That's right. Although Percy was not a guy that had any flash to his stage personality, I think he was a great trumpeter, an important figure in the whole history of New Orleans jazz, but he never got a lot of recognition, and that was partly due to his personality. And that was one reason why I loved him so much and why he was so great, was Percy was always Percy. He would let his brother Willie, the wonderful clarinet player, kind of get out in front on the stage, even though it might have been Percy's band, which it usually was. It was Percy's band, and there was a wonderful lady named Sweet Emma Barrett, wonderful character, a pianist, and she would wear all red, carry her red purse onto the stage of Carnegie Hall, things like that, and had bells on her legs while she played. And Percy knew that was good theater, and he would let it be Sweet Emma's band because that's what worked, and Percy would run the band, and it was his thing. But by preference, he would be kind of in the background, but he was, if you knew him as a musician, which I also did, I played with his band a few times in Preservation Hall, he was a true leader. He saw everything that was going on in the room, in the band. If something needed fixing, he'd fix it. But he had no need whatsoever to show off that he was the guy in control. And in the trumpet style of New Orleans, he certainly got out there as a leader and played that hard-driving lead.
What would you suggest for a starter?
I think Runnin' Wild might be great. When Percy was playing with the George Lewis Band, the George Lewis Band was at its absolute peak in the early 50s. And this will give you some of Percy's fire, and with a band that's really on fire.
We'll be right back.
That was Runnin' Wild, Percy Humphrey on trumpet with the George Lewis Band.
Those of you who have heard some British traditional jazz trumpet players like Ken Collier or Tony Pringle, a British guy who lives in Boston and playing now, there's a lot of influence of that era of Percy on their playing. And again, this is one of the things that's rarely credited. Many, many Europeans, many Americans from other places, Australians, Japanese, visited New Orleans from the 40s onward, 50s onward, listened to the pioneers like Percy, and carried that music back, and it's traveled very well all over the world because it's a universal code. It has all the qualities that can adapt to various cultural areas and still be itself.
That's my guest, Bill Carter, sharing with us his deep understanding about the significance of Preservation Hall Jazz Band in spreading New Orleans jazz. And he's giving us an up-close portrait of Willie and Percy Humphrey, who he knew well. This is Jazz Rhythm. I'm Dave Radlauer. In its earliest days, and for many years, Preservation Hall Jazz Band was fronted by the unique and cantankerous pianist Sweet Emma Barrett.
Willie played with Emma a lot in the 50s and 60s. She was a great character. She wore bells on her legs and stomped her feet, and the bells would go while she was banging away like a pile driver on the piano and screeching away in that screech owl voice.
Mama told me to dance just before she ran away. If I be a good little girl, oh, she'd put my hair in curl. Now it ain't no use for you to keep on hanging around.
Born in 1897, Emma Barrett began playing bars and dance halls in New Orleans at age 12. She was a beauty in the 1920s when she played for the New Orleans band of Papa Celestin, and through the 30s with such renowned bandleaders as A.J. Piron and John Robichaud.
She refused to ride on planes when the Preservation Hall Band got famous. Of course, they started traveling all over the world. They'd have to pack Emma on a train to go, let's say, from New Orleans to California many days early because she refused to fly. She wanted a compartment to herself, and she wanted to lock the door, and she didn't want anybody in or out of that compartment the whole trip. And they'd give her a bag of food, and she said, if anything happens to me, if I die, well, they'll find me when I get there. There's no rush about this.
Oh, she put my hair in curl. Now, it ain't no use for you to keep on hanging around. I know you want it, I'm gonna turn you down. Now your jelly roll might be fine, but it's showing as good as mine. I know you want it, you can have it, I ain't gonna give you none.
In the 1950s, she became known in and around New Orleans as Sweet Emma Barrett and added the jingle bells on her legs to add some rhythm to her piano. And on this track, you can hear the bells that she wore on leg garters that added rhythm to her piano solos. Distrustful of banks and doctors, Sweet Emma carried all her savings with her, including some old uncashed checks. After a stroke in 1967, she played piano with only her right hand, though sometimes a second pianist would sit next to her, playing the left-hand part. But from what I've read and heard, Sweet Emma Barrett was anything but sweet, as Bill Carter explains.
She tells terrible things to the audience. I mean, she was really obnoxious, and they loved her. There's so many stories about it. Once she got a little paranoid about somebody taking her picture, and she grabbed a glass of water and threw it at the water out at the audience, at this supposed person. It didn't get to the audience. It landed all over the banjo player right in the middle of his solo. They were opening the King Cotton Hotel in Memphis, the first time they'd ever had blacks staying in this hotel, and it was a rather tense moment, and they were all standing in the lobby, the band, the Preservation Hall Jazz Band, and Emma was carrying, as usual, one of her bags. Nobody knew what was in it, and Jaffe, who owned the hall, walked up to sign the historic document admitting blacks to this racist hotel. He was just finishing it, and the bottom dropped out of Emma's bag, and 12 eggs splattered all over the floor. Anyway, Willie and Emma were an interesting combination.
Recordings of Sweet Emma Barrett, the Bell Gal, who fronted the Preservation Hall Jazz Band for many years. Brought to you on Jazz Rhythm as we continue hearing from Bill Carter, friend of Percy and Willie Humphrey, who is author of the charming and definitive Preservation Hall Music from the Heart.
The jazz revival had a lot of aspects, but the most basic one was the discovery of these players in New Orleans who had been overlooked for many years because they had not traveled out from New Orleans as the people like Louis Armstrong did, who went to Chicago, New York, California, up the Mississippi, extensively in the 20s, which really spread jazz around the world. There was a group of musicians who might have traveled some in the 20s and 30s, but who mainly stayed in New Orleans. Percy Humphrey was one of those, Percy and his brother Willie. So the jazz revival, starting about 1940, had a great deal to do with the gradual uncovering of all those musicians in New Orleans. And that was what Preservation Hall was about. Finally, in 1961, Preservation Hall became this funky, historic building in the French Quarter where many, many of these musicians played, including Percy. It was just a really funky little joint in the French Quarter. But then when Percy Humphrey and others, many others, started taking this music into the concert halls all over the world, then it really got back into the mainstream of American life. And we do have a recording of Percy Humphrey playing with the Preservation Hall on one of their very earliest tours up to Minnesota. In fact, what we'll hear is Percy introducing the band at the very first time they played in a major concert hall.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Good evening to all of you. My name is Percy Humphrey, and I seem to be the spokesman for this group tonight. The name of this group is Sweet Emma's Group. Sweet Emma and her Dixieland Boys. Now, we have on the clarinets Willie Humphrey. We have the banjo, it's Emmanuel Sales, banjo drummer. On drums, we have Sy Fraser, better known as Sy. Trombone, we have Big Jim Robinson. Bass violin, we have Alcide Slow Drag Pavajo. Piano, none other than the wonderful leader of this group, Sweet Emma the Bell Girl. Thank you.
Percy was rather self-effacing, although being a leader, he would let others sometimes appear to be the leader of the band. He didn't like to get out number one in front of the public. He actually let Sweet Emma front the band, and it's listed as Sweet Emma and her Preservation Hall Jazz Band on this set from the early 60s. This was the first real concert of the Preservation Hall Jazz Band from New Orleans in a major concert hall setting. Preservation Hall had formed in 1961 and been based on this great collection of musicians still playing New Orleans in a old French Quarter building. And then gradually they began moving out into the world and carrying this message with them. Some local enthusiasts in Minneapolis, headed by Dr. Henry Blackburn, really scrambled around and arranged this concert, and it turned out to be a landmark. Very lucky it was recorded, and it sort of ignited the whole tour thing of the Preservation Hall Jazz Bands for the next 30 years, still going on. But this was the concert that got that going, and it was a dynamic one, and I think this record outsells for the last 30 years all others by a long, long shot among the Preservation Hall recordings.
Thank you. shimmers down to me. Yes, bake that possum good and brown. Add a little potatoes on the ground. Oh, Miss Liza. Oh, Liza. Ooh, Liza. I took my gal to the country store. And I dressed up in calico. Turned around, took my gal to the peanut stand. She got stuck on.
The old country stomp, Little Liza Jane, played by Preservation Hall Jazz Band in the early 1960s. The band long consisted of personnel drawn from an eclectic roster of old-time musicians who were steeped in the traditions of early New Orleans jazz. This is Jazz Rhythm, jumping swing, classic blues, and hot jazz. I'm Dave Redlauer. Thanks for joining me. Preservation Hall, like most of the French Quarter, survived Hurricane Katrina just fine. However, you can help New Orleans musicians impacted through the websites of the San Francisco Traditional Jazz Foundation, of which Bill Carter is chairman, at sftradjazz.org, or the delightful website preservationhall.com. Here from the earliest days of Percy and Willie Humphrey recording with Sweet Emma Barrett and the personnel that became Preservation Hall Jazz Band is the Bell Gals Careless Blues. Thank you.
Thank you.